This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 304. Mick Bonagle here with you on The Fan. So it's 3 o'clock. You know what time it is. We're going to get to the Yankees right after this. I have some thoughts on Stanton and what they should do there. We've talked a lot about the Mets. We've even mixed in some football. You guys wanted to talk football, so here we go. 3 o'clock, we spin the wheel of culture quarterbacks. The New York Jets have decided to move on from Aaron Rodgers, given this new rookie GM and this inexperienced new rookie GM, rookie head coach, inexperienced offensive coordinator, leaving them with no quarterback to speak of at the moment. So we try and figure out what, if that's the problem, if Aaron Rodgers is no good, who's better? So we spin the wheel every day of the random quarterbacks. We'll do this until we either run out of quarterbacks or the Jets make a decision on who will actually be the quarterback. As we're getting ready for the combine, we'll get ready through the free agency period and the draft. We'll see what the Jets do. But there's a bunch of names that are options for the New York Jets. We went through a bunch of them, yet to find one suitable or better than Aaron Rodgers. Today, we spin the wheel and find out what we get. So here we go. It is time to spin the wheel of culture quarterback.
Stafford takes the snap. Oh. Fires one over the middle. Intercepted. Fourth one of the night, and it's Darren Lee with his second. Lee to the 25, and Lee is dropped inside the 20. The Jets defense has owned Matthew Stafford tonight.
Blown in the shotgun with five wide. There's the snap. They rush four. There's a line drive throw near side. Leaping two-headed, falling down, catch in the end zone. Caught for the Ram touchdown. Odell Beckham Jr. near side of the end zone. Leaping high, bringing it down. Matthew Stafford has just thrown a 17-yard touchdown pass for the Rams, who take an early lead in Super Bowl 56. Stafford, receivers in tight. He gets the snap. He cocks his arm. He throws a pass. Caught with a leap. Belt high. Far side of the end zone. Touchdown pop. The Rams have taken the lead. The Rams have taken the lead. 1:25 to go. Heavily covered. Cup left and trapped the ball against his belt buckle.
Ooh, Matthew Stafford. This is hard. This is a difficult one. I love how Fleeks threw in the four interception game against the Jets. That was Sam Darnold's first career start for the New York Jets in that game.
We played another clip from that yesterday, whenever it was we did Darnold.
When we did Darnold, we played, yeah, because his first pick six. But the Jets actually rallied to win that football game. So how could you bring back Stafford? He can't even beat the lousy Jets and Sam Darnold. Obviously a tremendous quarterback. Obviously a Super Bowl champion. One of the better quarterbacks in the league. This one, you can't say that they would be worse off with Stafford instead of Aaron Rodgers. Stafford is still, I don't know about at the top of his game, but good enough to give the Eagles a run better than any other team in the NFL this year. They had it. They had every opportunity to win that game, and you could make the argument. You could. If it wasn't for the snow, that and it wasn't for the elements, the Rams outplayed the Eagles and had an opportunity to win that game, and he was driving. He throws a touchdown pass. They get the ball back. He's driving with a minute and a half left to go stick it in the end zone and beat the Eagles, and he gets to, like, what, the 15-yard line? If it wasn't for that Carter sack up the middle, they probably beat the Eagles. So this is obviously just straight up play on the field. You can't argue the Jets are as good or better, clearly better, than even Aaron Rodgers provides. But the issue is, what do you have to give up to get him? And I'm sorry, as much as I like Matthew Stafford, $50 million is a bit much. $85 million is crazy. And that's the cap hit that you're going to have minimum with Aaron Rodgers. You could eat it all at once and have a $50 million cap. You could be paying $100 million for your quarterback year one. Plus trading assets for this team. And if you don't win now with him, and you make a decision to pay him big money and move forward with the next 3 years, like, that's part of the blessing with Aaron Rodgers. It's a one-year, thing. And then you move on, you draft a quarterback. This is making a decision that a 37-year-old quarterback is going to have another two or three really good years, good enough to lead you to a Super Bowl. That's the move. That's the move for Matthew Stafford. Now, I just don't think he wants any part of it. He's going to come here and play with the New York Jets and be in the same position that so many other quarterbacks have been in. Inexperienced quarterback, inexperienced offensive coordinator, a new GM, a team that has a tradition of losing and failing unlike any other professional sports team. Like, this is just a tough ask. Now, I can't tell you they're worse. This is the first time you're actually getting a good product on the field. It's the first quarterback I believe wins games for the New York Jets. Does this do the bare minimum accomplishment of ending the playoff drought? I think it's as good an option as they have for that, and I do think that's important. But ultimately, to give up all that to pay $80 million to try and scope, figure out the rest of the roster, give that kind of hole to a young GM, to try and build the rest of this roster that does have holes. They need a pass rush. They need, you know, they get some guys coming back, but they need, you know, still working on that offensive line. Are they going to have, what, four starters returning? You have to figure out Devontae Adams. Can you afford a $50 million plus the cap hit and Devontae Adams? How good can this team be with Matthew Stafford? Does he want to be here? And then you're buying into a long-term solution over the next handful of years with a quarterback making $50 million a year. I think it works on the field. I don't think it works roster-wise. And you need buy-in from Matthew Stafford. For those reasons, we've come to the conclusion of... in vogue? Yeah. No, you're never going to get it. Look, I can't tell you that this guy sucks, which is what we normally play, and I'm sure we will continue to play the rest of Culture Quarterback Wheel, but this is an option for the New York Jets that does make them really good on the field. This is an option for the New York Jets that does hopefully end that playoff drought. I do think the team is, if I could tell you that Rodgers is good enough to end the playoff drought, I'd be a fool to tell you that Stafford isn't, but for many reasons, I don't know if it works. I don't think the Jets would do it. I don't think Matthew Stafford would do it. But it is an option that at least provides them with some winning this year. Not a new endeavor. All these players who don't want to rebuild don't have to rebuild. You can draft. I mean, then the question is, do you draft a quarterback and not give, like, a second or a third round pick on a quarterback of the future? Probably not. This is a 3-year deal, and you want to give Matthew Stafford every ability of winning over the next 3 years. So I don't know if it's a perfect fit. I don't think Stafford would be interested, and I don't see it happening for the New York Jets.
You know, like, I think the Jets should be, I know I would be overjoyed if Matthew Stafford said, hey, you know, yes, what? I want to be a Jet, figure it out with the money, whatever, to get it, make it work. Because with that roster and Stafford, I think you could win. You could be a good team.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets are not lucky enough for Matthew Stafford to make that. Like, he'll pick the Giants where his career will go to die just because that roster is so far away.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets won't be lucky enough for Stafford to say, hey, you know what? If it's not L.A. and it's not the Steelers or one of the other good options out there, let it be the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but I don't know if we can, you know, break down luck. I understand what you're saying, and I don't think he would pick the Jets.
I would take that. You're saying it's 2 to 3 years. I agree with you. That's the commitment.
Yeah.
If I'm the Jets, I sign up for that.
Yeah,
they have no real, and this is what we've been going over.
Yeah.
There's no real positive outlook for them having a young franchise quarterback in the next 2 to 3 years.
Right.
These are all bridge options.
Yep.
So if it's going to be the bridge, it's like
this
point
is
with
by
Rogers,
far the best, bridge.
The best bridge.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. This would be the best bridge. I think it's the best option outside of Aaron Rodgers, without question.
It would look crazy because you're right. You'd be paying both of them.
Yeah.
But in terms of what they are on the field, he is the best choice.
No
by
doubt.
By far.
By far. That's the best name. I've been through the list of culture quarterbacks. This is the best one. Now, I don't know. Again, part of it is the GM has to, the young offensive coordinator has to establish who he is and take control of the room. Like, we've heard that. I don't know if Matthew Stafford affords you that. I mean, he's not the diva, perceived diva, that Aaron Rodgers is, but right now he wants out of a Super Bowl winning team because he wants more money.
I mean, I guess coming to the Jets offers his wife New York still.
Still offers her New York, no doubt about it, and a new challenge, that's for sure. But does he come in and allow this young offensive coordinator to take over? Because like, that's been part of the deal. Like, he's got to have complete buy-in. I mean, this is a guy who is now looking for $50 million or he won't come play for you. I'm not trying to knock him. I have no idea what he'll be in the room. But if you told me Aaron Rodgers, who in my mind, and I know Diana Rossini has come up with a contrary report and she's been on top of things, I still think Aaron Rodgers wants to be a Jet. Right? There were reports that he was very adamant to the New York Jets, that he wanted to stay, resurrect his career. There's some talk about Indianapolis. There's been some talk about Pittsburgh, although there hasn't been anything tangible that. Who knows where his next stop is? But if you're going to tell me, hey, part of the reason I don't want Aaron Rodgers is I've got to let this, you know, young offensive coach lead the room, and I need the young head coach to not have any issues with, you know, building culture and being the leader. Well, why would a veteran quarterback looking, you know, coming from an organization that's won a Super Bowl and knows how to win, you don't think he's going to come here with an opinion? You don't think he's going to come here with a certain way he believes it should be done? You don't think he's going to come in here with enough gravitas to tell a young offensive coordinator what's what? Like, maybe he won't. Maybe Rodgers is more apt to do those kind of things. I don't know. But the idea of culture building, that's a difficult argument when you're trying to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. You forget all that. Now you're just saying, I don't care about the culture building. I don't care about the young offensive coordinator trying to establish who he is. This is strictly about the play on the field.
Here's a fun prompt for you. Quarterback, you know, tell me, who would you rather have? Quarterback A, definite Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. towards the end of his career was changing teams, took a pay cut, was open to taking another pay cut. Quarterback B, towards the end of his career, probably a Hall of Famer, but it's not definite.
Right.
Both have won Super Bowl and is potentially forcing his way off of a contender to win because he wants as much money as possible. Who's the better fit for culture?
It's a very good question.
And who's the one that has, you know, all this negative attention showering down on him?
100%. There is no doubt. When we're talking about spinning the wheel of culture for the quarterback, culture, the on-the-field product, absolutely, Matthew Stafford is without question the better option. But for all you guys who, part of the reason Aaron Rodgers shouldn't be here is you got to give this young coaching staff an opportunity to be the man. And Aaron Rodgers is going to hinder that. Well, again, as Fleegs just pointed out, one quarterback wants to be here. One quarterback already took a pay cut, willing to take another. The other quarterback wants off a Super Bowl caliber team who took the Eagles to within an inch of their life, closer than any other team. But that's not good enough. He doesn't want to stay there because he feels he's being disrespected, only making $40 million, and he wants 50. Which one is better for culture? Interesting discussion. I do think it's the best option of any of the names I'm going to give you as we continue to spin the wheel. And on the field, no doubt, even better than Aaron Rodgers. as of right now, today, moving forward into next year, you'd have to be, listen, is it possible Aaron Rodgers has a better season next year than Matthew Stafford? I would still tell you, yes, that's possible. It's possible. That's how much I respect Aaron Rodgers. And he had a down year before winning two Super Bowl, before winning two MVPs. Before winning his last two MVPs, you look at that season, he had a down year with Green Bay. So I don't doubt Aaron Rodgers bouncing back. I really don't. But I'd have to be a fool to tell you it's more likely than Matthew Stafford having a great year. Matthew Stafford just played well. Matthew Stafford is still, you know, at the tail end of the prime of his career. He could still throw the hell out of the ball. He's been able to stay healthier, and he just led the Rams to the playoffs, and honestly, probably the best game against the Eagles played in the playoffs. So, yeah, it's more likely that you get a better year next year out of the quarterback position with Matthew Stafford than Aaron Rodgers. So, on that mere fact alone, I don't think I'm going to give you another name on the list where I can say that. But I can say it with Matthew Stafford. But it does bring its own issues. It brings paying the quarterback position upwards of $80 million. And it also adds to the idea of, if you're culture building, is this the guy who comes in and brings culture? A guy who wants off of a Super Bowl caliber team because $40 million is not enough? He needs $50 million? He's the kind of guy who's going to come in here and let this young offensive coordinator take control of the room? Aaron Rodgers won't do it, but Matthew Stafford will? I don't know.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Oh.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right. About 3:24. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. And sometimes the Yankees make us want to lose our minds. Every once in a while, as today or yesterday, not only did we get the Met news of Sean Manaea and his oblique, and we went over that in the open. You can go back and listen to it on the Rewind feature at 2 a.m. You can go back and listen to my podcast in a little bit to go listen to the take on Manaea. We'll get to it again at 4 o'clock maybe, or in the 4 o'clock hour. But the other news that we got was kind of twofold from Giancarlo Stanton, who obviously is dealing with both of his elbows and tennis elbow. He's already talked about the pain he's in, and he's been shut down from baseball activity. And I believe Sunday we got word that there's no timetable on when he'll even start baseball activities. And then yesterday we heard early in the morning reports by NJ.com that he was going back to New York and he was going to get seen by Dr. Chris Ahmad, the team doctor for the New York Yankees, for a second opinion or to look at the elbow, whatever. But he was going back to New York to visit with the doctor, which is a scary thought. I mean, you know, it's never good. Obviously, he's in pain. It's not getting any better or it's getting worse. And so there's the need to go see the doctor in New York. So that was not a positive sign. And then later in the day, before a game that ultimately got rained out against the Red Sox, Aaron Boone spoke and said that it's a personal matter, that he's going back to New York for a personal matter, and he'll leave it at that. And it leaves us scratching our heads as Yankee fans. And I have no idea what to make of those two stories. And then there's even quotes from Aaron Judge saying that, you know, we'll see what the doctor says. He's in good spirits, Stanton is. And I had dinner with him last night, and he seems okay, but you know, well, I keep checking on him, and we'll find out what the doctor says. So I have no idea. Clearly, he's dealing with an injury. And whether it's personal or not, I mean, that could be construed in a myriad of different ways, because technically, like, I know they're professional athletes, and we, you know, we hear a lot about their injuries and stuff, but technically, even their health is sort of personal. So, like, I have no idea what a personal matter means. To me, it just means Aaron Boone doesn't want to tell us. And I know we get hung up on this and we get mad. When I was talking about this with Fliegelman, he said the Mets used to do this all the time. We get mad about misinformation or whatever, you know, with the Mets. I mean, even last year when Carlos Mendoza told you that they expect, you know, a time frame for Kodai Senga, and then the time frame changes, it's not necessarily lying. It's they're giving you what they think is the best thing to give you. And here's the thing for Yankee fans and all fans that need to understand. It's not the team's responsibility to tell you every single test or thing that's going on with a player. It's not our God-given right to know every single thing about this player's health. Now, I don't like being lied to as much as the next guy doesn't like being lied to. I understand that. But at the same time, whatever they want to tell us, it's when he's on the field and it's the ultimate diagnosis. Whatever's going on with Stanton, we're going to find out. He's not going to be on the field for a while, and eventually we'll find out. I don't need to find out today, and I don't need to be given the exact update of what time the flight lands and when the appointment is and what exactly is going on with Stanton. His elbows are bothering him. He's not doing anything baseball-related. We have no freaking idea. We get so hung up on what Aaron Boone says. We get so hung up on the actual outcome and hanging on every word, and when he's slightly off, we kill him. He said 2 weeks. It's been 3.5. What an embarrassment this team is. Who cares? Injuries are different. Injuries are unique. Injuries change day to day. When he's on the field, he's on the field. Other than that, I don't give a damn. And it's not, I mean, in hockey, we don't even know what's going on with players. They call it upper body issue. Nobody cares. I mean, the guy's shoulder could be hanging off and he's got an upper body issue. Same thing in football. Bill Belichick didn't tell a single truth about a single injury, yet nobody cared. You know why he won Super Bowls? That's all that matters. We get hung up on this stuff. It's stupid. I'm hung up on who's going to be the DH for this team. I'm hung up on who's going to actually take his place in the lineup and on the roster. I'm not hung up on whether or not Aaron Boone is telling us everything there is to know. We'll find out. You know how I know? Because I turn on the Yankee games. When I turn on the game, if Stanton's there, I'll know he's there. If I turn on the game and Stanton's not in the lineup, I know he's not in the lineup. Every single thing between him playing and not playing, I don't need to know. Nor do I expect the team to give me every single bit of truth or every single bit of what's going on. It is what it is, whether he's meeting with the doctor or whether he's handling something personal. And if it's personal, I hope everything's okay. And if it's medical, I hope everything's okay. But we'll find out soon enough. But the problem is, who the hell is going to be the DH? And I don't think it's going to be Dom Smith. And I don't know if it's going to be Bird. And I keep saying Bird every time I want to talk about Ben Rice. Hopefully that's not a portent of things to come. Hopefully that is not a Freudian slip. Because if he's Bird, that's a disaster. All the promise in the world, no fruition. But here's the problem with the New York Yankees. Twofold. Forget what they're telling us now. They've known he hasn't swung a bat in a month. That's the issue. And this could be a long-term thing. He's got severe pain in both of his elbows. I know he dealt with it in the postseason. And then Stanton was asked on why he didn't have surgery in the offseason or why he didn't deal with it on a more aggressive manner in the offseason. And he literally said, I don't know. I don't know. Now, I can tell you why, because surgery is not a guarantee. And with tennis elbow, you figure you could just give it enough time and it'll feel better, and it's not feeling better. So he's probably gone to see the doctor. But the New York Yankees have known for a long time that Giancarlo Stanton isn't going to be in the lineup on opening day. They have known that for a long time. And now it might be coming more crystallized that he might not be here for half the year. And as much as I'll tell you, and I still feel this way, there is no bashing Giancarlo Stanton on this show. I'm done. I won't allow it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about his injury, his constant injuries. We get it. We know it. It's taken for granted. The general manager told us last year it's part of his game. Giancarlo Stanton, when all that matters to Yankee fans is winning a championship, nobody has done more to get that championship over the last 5 years than Giancarlo Stanton. He has been their best player. He's been an absolute force and a stud. He's been not only the Yankees' best player, you could argue, you know, this side of, you know, guys who played longer into the playoffs, like Seager had a great playoff run for Texas. You could argue he's as good a postseason player as there's been in baseball for the last 5 years. I'm done bashing him. I don't want to hear anything about his injury. This is strictly how do the Yankees cope? Because missing a month is easy to cope. And as long as I still believe, as long as he's there for September and October, I'll still believe he'll show. He could show up September 1st. I will have confidence he's going to be a playoff monster. The problem is getting to the playoffs. And with the rest of this roster and the depth of it, which there is none, I still think the roster has a chance to be pretty good. The lineup, rather. I still think Goldschmidt can have a bounce back year. I still think Jazz full year is going to be a big help to this team. I still think Dominguez is going to be a hitter. Can he catch a ball in left field? We'll find out. But I think Dominguez is going to add a switch hitter with some pop and speed to this lineup. I think Cody Bellinger is going to have a season very similar or better than he had last year with the Cubs. I still think Wells can be a top 10 offensive catcher in the sport. I think the lineup can be better than most people think, but without Giancarlo Stanton, there is no depth. There is no bench, another injury, and this lineup isn't nearly good enough to compete for a championship, to compete for a division title. Really, that's how close it is. That's the fine line the Yankees are riding when it comes to this lineup. And now that they know Stanton is not going to start the year, Stanton will never see April, I doubt he sees May, and there's a chance we don't see him until the All-Star break. The Yankees have to do something. And much like I screamed about money with Steve Cohen, to me, this is about money now. Because there are options out there. And to me, one of the first names we heard is one of the names I'm still focused on. Because I'll tell you this right now. I don't know how the San Diego Padres view it. there's been some talk that obviously he was available at the start of the offseason, and now we're hearing less and less about it strictly because there wasn't a market for it, and now they're starting to play games. But to me, if I had my choice, one, I still want Arenado for third base because that's part of it. Like, again, no third baseman, no real option for the middle of the lineup if Stanton goes down. You're talking about Rice. You're talking about Grisham. You're talking about Dom Smith. I mean, the actual depth and bench of this team isn't there. And you can't go into a season with no Stanton and no real legitimate option at third base. So I'm still on trading for Nolan Arenado. But if I'm looking for a legitimate bat, because I know Nolan Arenado is trailing and trending in the wrong direction, and as much as I still think he's an improvement to this team, he still hit 270 last year, which I don't think any Yankee option currently would come close to hitting 270. While his power numbers are down, I still think Nolan Arenado is obviously defensively and offensively an upgrade for what they have right now. But if you need a legitimate bat, because now I'm thinking without Stanton, as much as I like Nolan Arenado, and I still want that, that's not a legitimately good enough bat to make me feel like I have enough where I'm covering for the depth, I'm covering for third, I'm covering for DH. It's a different kind of bat, but for me, one of the first names we heard this year was Luis Arraez with San Diego, and I was mixed on it because of his defensive ability being non-existent. He is a horrendous. We've had to deal with Gleyber Torres the last couple of years being a bad second baseman. He's Robinson Cano. He is Roberto Alomar compared to Luis Arraez. But if you tell me the DH spot is open, and I'm looking at a full half a year where I can plug Luis Arraez at DH, and I know he's not the typical power hitting DH. I know he's not someone who's going to hit a ton of home runs. But Luis Arraez is the answer for the leadoff hitter, without question. Now you can put a guy who's going to hit you 320 and have an on-base percentage of 360 bare minimum in front of Judge. He gets on base. He comes up with hits. He puts the ball in play. He's one of the harder, if not the hardest, guy to strike out in Major League Baseball. I have an issue because this team has pivoted to being a defensive team. Right, they didn't go out and get every single home run hitter. They didn't go out and add somebody like Tucker or somebody remotely close to Juan Soto. They went out and added a bunch of different bats, a bunch of different quality bats. None of them great, but most of them good. But they transitioned to being a much better defensive team. I still don't love Luis Arraez as your everyday second baseman and moving Jazz to third. I don't like that option. But if he's available to DH, it's not the power hitter you're usually there for. It's not someone who's going to bat behind Judge and give him a backup or give him protection. But it solves the problem right now of who the hell is hitting leadoff for this team. It gives somebody you know is going to have a 350 to 360 minimum on base percentage in front of Aaron Judge. It lengthens the lineup. It gives you contact at the top. It gives you options where if you put Volpe or Dominguez at the bottom of the lineup and they get on base, now you have a hit-and-run combination in front of Judge. Like, there's a lot of different things that he provides for this team. And I know San Diego has backed off trading him. I think if the Yankees come in hot and heavy on it, there is an option. It's a one-year contract, and Hal, who has been reported to say has no more loot, and this is the main crux of the argument, because I could argue for J.D. Martinez, I could argue for trading for Luis Arraez and taking on his money. I could argue for Nolan Arenado and taking on his money. I could argue for a plethora of different guys. Candelita. I could offer a bunch of different options. Luis Arraez makes me the most excited because that's a legitimate bat. That's a batting champion that solves the problem of who the leadoff hitter is. That does a lot for the Yankees without giving them pop, but gives them a lot at the DH spot. But I can argue for a myriad of guys, and I'll take your phone calls at 888-808-1019, and you can give me your options, and all of them are better than the current ones they have, I promise you. But it comes down to the fact of this owner who is talking about having spent, hey, I spent $307 million. Hey, I don't have to spend more than $300 million. Hey, spending more money doesn't correlate to winning championships. All the nonsense he's been giving you. Not only is third base a gaping hole, but now DH is. And if that's a long-term, if there is a doctor's appointment from Giancarlo Stanton and the results of said appointment on the way, and we find out we are looking at worst-case scenario all year, a mid-case scenario of half the year, like if we're looking at a long, long-term no Giancarlo Stanton, this owner has got to pony up and bring in another bat. There's no option. Not if you want to win. Not if a World Series championship and a division title is legitimately what we're going for. You can't tell me Dom Smith, DJ LeMahieu, Oswaldo Cabrera, Oswald Peraza, Ben Rice. Like, these are not the options to get Trent Grisham. These are not the options to give you a lineup. I know the pitching's better. I know the defense is better. And I know the American League is down. But you can't lose Giancarlo Stanton, start with no depth, and start with no third baseman. Those are three things that a New York Yankee team cannot go into the season with. So whether it's solved the third base issue or it's solved the DH issue, one of those things have to have money thrown at it. And this owner just has to pony up and understand there are years that you might be able to stay under $300 million. There are years where you might not have to go this extra mile. This is not one of them. This lineup is too soft, too weak, and this injury could be too devastating to just allow it to go on and see what happens. And hey, we'll attack it at the deadline, when you can't count on the deadline because you have no idea how many teams are going to be interested in players and how many teams are going to be willing to sell players. And I can promise you the interested teams are going to be a hell of a lot more than the selling teams, because they've added the playoff spot, and that's how the new format works. Cody Bellinger could have been on this team 2 years ago at the deadline, but the Cubs won 7 out of 8 and decided to chase it. That's how fickle this trade deadline is. And I'm not going into it hoping to solve my problems at the deadline when I'm desperate. Go trade for Nolan Arenado. Go trade for Luis Arraez. Go add a bat one way or another, and do it now. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Stu in Brooklyn real quick. What's up, Stu?
As usual, you're 100% correct. And let's say this way. They have to add a bat. And knowing Stanton, it'll probably be about 3/4 of the way into the year before he gets back.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what the timetable is right now. I just know that the likelihood of it being long-term is significant.
Yes.
And that the Yankees need to go out. They don't have the depth. They don't have the team right now.
No, they don't. Arenado definitely. I mean, he hit 270. What did he hit, 22 home runs last year or something like that?
I think it might even be less than that. The power numbers are really what's taking the dip. His strikeout numbers are relatively similar. His contact, his average, like all that was relatively similar.
Yeah,
where he really took the dip was his power numbers are coming way down the last 2 years.
And his defense still remains very good.
Very good. People are telling me, I have read reports that even his defense is trending in the wrong direction, but even the people who say that still tell you he's a very good defensive. He's going from the best in the world to being just very good, even if he's trending down. But yeah, so
good. He's better than what they have now.
Oh, no question. He's better than what they have right now.
The designated hitter? Luis Arraez would definitely be an option.
He's just, right now, he's the best bat available to me. And thank you for the call, Stu. Like, if you want to tell me J.D. Martinez off of how he finished the season last year, is there a chance he has a bounce back year, or is the same player he was in the first half with the Mets for most of the year, or even the first half of the year when you'll probably need him most? Yeah, okay. I could live with J.D. Martinez. It's not going to really excite me. They already passed on Turner. He had a probably all-around better year than J.D. Martinez did last year, certainly against left-handed pitching, where he still can rake. And he might be able to play a little bit of third base for you there. I don't know if he would be great at third base, but he could play a little bit of third base. J.D. Martinez is strictly going to be your DH. But again, even that gives me something. But Luis Arraez, as much as I think there is flaws in his game, And as much as, you know, people don't like this for whatever reason, I think there's a reason why he's been on so many teams over the last couple of years and winning batting titles. He's winning batting titles and still being looked to be traded. And I know the Marlins are one of those teams and they don't hang on to great players. I get it. But San Diego's looking to get rid of him too. Like, I think there's a reason. He's not, you know, just an average hitter isn't a great player in today's baseball game. It's just not. I don't view him as a great player, but he's a legitimate bat. And he solves a legitimate problem they have. Like, that's the other thing about Luis Arraez. Right now, you look at this team. Question mark defensively in left field. Other than that, defense and pitching, I'm good with. Like, run prevention, I think the Yankees are as good as they can be. I feel great about them. Offensively, there are three, right now with the Stanton injury, three major holes. There's, in my mind, not a legitimate third baseman. Right now, there is no DH. And they don't have a leadoff hitter. We don't know. They're going to guess with Dominguez or Volpe or Jazz. There's no real guy who you feel confident is going to get on base enough to be a legitimate leadoff hitter for this team. If you bring Luis Arraez, to me, that solves two problems. I've got my everyday DH, and I've got my leadoff hitter. It's not a prototypical DH. Typically, you'd like some pop from your DH. He's going to give you absolutely zero. And without Stanton, the Yankees are going to be lacking home runs. Plain and simple. They're going to have the best home run hitter in the world, but other than that, you know, Cody Bellinger, there's some hopes that he could hit 30 home runs playing at Yankee Stadium for a full year. I mean, if you get 25 out of Goldschmidt, you'll be thrilled. Same thing from the three rookies. You're looking for 20 to 25 from Volpe, Wells, Dominguez. Right? I mean, Jazz, another guy, 25 home runs maybe on his, you know, best case. Like, there's really not that guy. They don't have that big-time pop. Like, you look at the Mets, you know you're going to get 25 to 30 from Lindor. You're going to get 30 to 40 from Soto. And you're going to get 35 to 45 from Alonso, as long as they're all healthy. Like, the Yankees don't have any of that outside of Judge, who's going to give you 40 to 50 if he's healthy. So they could use some pop. It's not a perfect answer, but it's a legitimate bat who might be available, who solves two of the three major lineup issues I have. Third base, DH, leadoff hitter. Luis Arraez solves two of those. He's your DH. He's your leadoff hitter. I don't know if there's a better option for solving two of my three problems with one player. It's not a perfect DH. And the Yankees are going to be missing a lot of pop, and they're going to have to score runs a different way, and he'll help do that. Like, if you have Volpe hopefully having a good year, and you have Dominguez getting on base at the bottom of that lineup, 7-8, and then you turn it over to the top of the order, and you know you've got speed on the bases, and you've got a guy who handles the bat as well as Luis Arraez does, that gives you options to do things. The Yankees can be a different team and not sit around and wait for three-run home runs. They're going to have to be. Already they're going to have to be, because I don't see a DH coming in who hits you 30 home runs. Like, that guy doesn't exist right now. Not available right now. So I think Luis Arraez is the best option now that I don't have to play him in the field. Now that I have a legitimate spot to put him in the lineup and not hurt me defensively, now I'm on board. And then once Stanton comes back, I'll figure out how to best work it. I'll rotate it. You know, maybe it'll answer itself. Maybe Jazz either is injured or not having a good year. Who knows what happens at third? Maybe Goldschmidt is officially done and they have to move on and play Luis Arraez at first base. Like, there's a bunch of different options. Let the season play out. But right now, as much as I'll tell you, Stanton, as long as you're healthy for September and October, that's all I care about. They do have to win a division, and this lineup has too many holes now. So either they better get, the New York Yankees better get, or I'll be... I mean, what do they care? But I'm going to be killing them every day. They need either a third baseman or another bat for DH, bare minimum. I'll be very surprised if Ben Rice takes this job and runs with it, and through April has 10 home runs, and we're all saying, remember when we were stupid and complaining about a bat? I doubt that happens. But that's the option. Ben Rice, I don't want to hear Spencer Jones. I like Spencer Jones. His stance is ugly as sin. But he did go Oppo Taco the other day. I'm open to him being on the short track if there's an issue, but I can't start the year depending on Spencer Jones. I don't want to start the year depending on Ben Rice. Go out there and get another bat. And this owner who talks about money, I get it. In a perfect world, should you be able to win with a $300 million payroll? Absolutely. Absolutely. And some years that might be the truth. It's not this year.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So I had mixed emotions when I woke up today, or yesterday now, in the middle of the afternoon. And I saw a picture that WFAN had put out of all of us in beards. And I didn't even say mixed emotions. I had really one main emotion. I wish I could grow that freaking beard. I don't know if you've seen this picture. You can go on, obviously, any of our... You can go on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. WFAN has it. I've commented on it. Even BT commented on my beard. I think I rock it as good as anyone. I think you could argue, first of all, Gio is glowing. I don't know what it is, Boomer too, but there's something about like the angle of Gio's smile and face. He's absolutely beaming. He looks like he couldn't be happier. Like I saw a couple people commented on my comment saying Boomer looks like Santa Claus because he's got the gray beard a little bit. I think Gio has that like Santa Claus cartoonish glow about him. He looks fantastic. I think Keith's able to rock the beard pretty well, but to me, they did Sal a major disservice with the hair. I think they did Jerry Recco a terrible disservice with the kind of, what is, that's not even a handlebar. I don't even know what that is. The mustache they put on poor Jerry. But me, I'm not even kidding. Sign me, if I could snap my fingers and make me look like that picture with that beard, I would do it. I am 41 years old. I can't grow a beard. If I just let this go, I have like scraggle, if that's even a word. I have like straggle, you know, just hairs here or there on my cheek, and I will grow a full neck beard. Like if I would have just let this go, everything below my chin would eventually become like a big bushy thing, but nothing above my jawline, like nothing. Can't grow it. I don't know what the hell it is. My father couldn't do it until his, you know, 30s and 40s. I think he was already able to do it by the time he's my age. But I grow the mustache. I grow the little saver flavor or whatever you, flavor saver, whatever you guys call it. That grows. My mustache grows. But I cannot grow a beard to save my life. So when I saw that picture and I look as devastatingly handsome as I do in it, it was very tough to swallow. Very tough to swallow. I'm telling you, I think I'm so disappointed I can't grow a beard knowing that. Now, like, I've always thought this. I've always been disappointed. I've always wished I could grow a beard. I haven't bought, I didn't keep up with it, but one Christmas my wife got me like a beard kit or whatever, and it came with like a rolling kind of pin with spikes in it. And you kind of rolled it over your face, I don't know, to inject your pores or something. I don't know what the purpose is, but like I did it twice and never kept up with it. I don't know if it's going to work or not. Maybe I should have stuck with it. But and I don't, like, maybe I should shave more. I kind of just buzz it and clean it up. I never really, like, shave with a blade enough. But I cannot grow a beard to save my life. And I've always wondered. And I've always said, man, I wonder what I would look like with a beard. And now that it's there, right there in glorious, wonderful 3D staring me in the face, that I could look like that, I'm very disappointed. Marco, have you seen how glorious I look like in a beard?
I did. You kind of look...
I look badass, man.
You look a little intimidating. It's a different look for you.
I love it. I wish I would snap... If I could snap my fingers right now and be the guy in that picture, I would do it. Without question. I would sign up, like, you know, for whatever, like, to do... If they said, okay, yes, if, you know, God came down or genie or whatever, and said, I'll give you that beard, but you got to stick with it for 5 years... Done.
Here's my question, because I mean, obviously, I'm staring at you. I realize you don't connect real
not
well
a,
and
no.
all that.
Nothing above the jawline. Everything is, I have a neck beard.
But if you let the neck beard go,
yeah,
will
maybe.
It come out?
It doesn't look good, so I don't. But yeah, maybe if I let, but even this, like, what I'm working with right now is probably almost 2 weeks.
Right, I mean,
like it's no, I don't grow.
Yeah,
no.
But you can get a little bit, like, you get
I could.
A little Jim the Anvil Neidhart going.
Yeah,
little,
but
like,
no, that's a bad look. You got to have it above your face. You got to have it on your face. I got to have it on my face. That's what covers the roundness so much. Like, the underneath doesn't help me with the roundness.
You're looking to fill the cheeks.
I'm looking to fill in the cheeks with hair so people can wonder if it's fat under there or just more hair.
Yeah, they don't wonder. Just so you know.
Well, now they don't have to.
Yeah.
They might.
I mean, I like to cover up, too. I mean, you try to cover as many wrinkles and rolls and layers as you possibly can. But trust me, they know. They know. It's there.
No,
they know.
Not a beard like that. I would rock that beard in a heartbeat, man. I think I look tremendous.
I think you should try the underneath.
No.
I want to see if the underneath carriage can carry you through.
No, it doesn't look good.
Well, we'll never know.
I know. I mean, you got to have it on your face, man. It's not a face beard. It's a neck beard. It's a double chin beard. It's like, I don't know.
Well,
I mean, that's what I would call it because I'm heavy, although I don't have a terrible double chin. It's a little bit.
It'd be better if you grow that out.
No, but it's just, I don't know. Nah, I've tried it. Not to any real extent, not to anything
like
that
trying,
picture.
Then that's not trying.
Just to let it go for months and months and months, I'm telling you, it doesn't look good. I don't like the way it looks.
I think we should try.
It's not the same. It's got to be on your face, man. If it's not on your face, what are you doing?
Look, I don't know. Luckily, I don't have this issue, so I don't know what
it's
like.
Look at you. You look like you shaved this morning, and that's what happens.
What can I tell you? I don't know what it's like to not be able to have facial hair on your cheeks.
When were you able to grow a beard? What age were you able to grow that beard that you have now? Full, you know, you have to shave your cheekbones, otherwise it's going all the way up to your eyeballs.
Yes, correct.
When did you have that?
I don't know, 17, 18?
Oh, I hate you. 17, 18.
But that's for the full beard. I mean, before that, I could, you know, mess around.
Goatee?
Yeah, but I couldn't do it in high school. We were the Yankees, apparently. So my high school baseball coach, you know, only a finely trimmed mustache. Otherwise, you couldn't play.
Really?
Same thing with the hair. So I didn't grow my hair out until after I left high school.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you got
to. Used to grow your hair out?
I had hair down my ass.
No, you did not.
Yeah, I did.
Hair down your ass?
Oh, yeah.
How old were you when you had this hair?
Early 20s. I grew.
How long did you keep it?
I kept it until I was about like 23. I started this business and I went on an interview and I could tell the guy was just like, yeah, no, this ain't gonna happen. And I cut it the next day.
Was it like straight? Did you have to like?
No, I didn't have straight hair. I have like full curly.
So like what?
Not curly, but like wavy. Like I have full hair.
So what'd you look like? '80s hairband, like what kind of?
Yeah, a little
down to your ass with a big hairy curly hair. That's
a
lot.
Wavy, that was good head of hair. That was good head.
Yeah,
of
but
hair.
All the way down there, you're looking for a straight hair, kind of. Right?
No, this was full. This was solid. This was good hair.
Because I don't know if you I don't know if you were around or you remember, but I for a brief time had it down to like my shoulders.
No, I can't see it.
Yeah, I did for a while. When maybe like 2000, I was in Astoria. That's how long ago it was. It was in Astoria. It was my early 20s.
I can't picture you with it.
I'll find the picture of it. I look like Antonio Banderas. I'm badass with my long hair.
I struggle with that.
Yeah, I'll find it for you. It's somewhere. I'll go back to my Facebook page. It's there. I'll show it to you in the break.
I don't. Unfortunately, don't have a lot of pictures of the long hair. I think I have one or two maybe that I can find. Mm-hmm. But even then,
this wasn't even like my longest. But it was relatively long. I have so many pictures from that stupid European vacation that takes forever. I'll find it. I don't want to do this forever.
European vacation?
Yeah, well, a long time ago. I did a European.
There, Chevy. I thought you
here
were.
Here we go. Here we go.
I think you're doing the movie here.
Here we go. I got it.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
It's not bad.
See, now mine was kind of straight. I would flat iron it.
You flat iron?
Yeah, I would flat iron my hair to make it straight.
Wow.
Because otherwise it was like a curly mess back there.
You worked hard on that.
Well, I was
flat. That's not bad. That's not bad. You were also in better shape there, so that's part of it.
I don't know.
You were in better shape.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's the hair.
Nah, you're a little closer to your prime there.
I don't think so. I mean, like, closer to my actual physical prime, but as far as like weight goes, I don't think I was that much different.
Well, you carried it better there. Can I tell you?
Well, I had hair.
I don't think it was hair.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just a really good picture.
Is that what it is? It's far enough away. It's got a good enough shadow.
I'll show you pictures that I took, you know, not too long ago, where I looked much thinner than what you're staring at right now.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So you're about
it's
illusion.
The angle. Oh, I'm about illusion. Isn't everyone?
I just avoid the pictures.
Well, I'm just saying, like anyone, we come here, we put product in our hair, we wear hats, we do whatever. It's all illusion. Makeup, illusion. It's true.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.